Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word. All right, we're going to jump in. We're going to talk to you today about embracing grace. So right now, I'll tell you, you're going to get a breakthrough today. You're going to get a miracle today. Something's going to happen. Yes, ma'am. Did you want to bug me for a minute, honey? Man, that's awesome. Sorry, I didn't hear that. What was that? Get out of town. 53 hampers? You guys are awesome. God bless you. Lay your hands on them right now, Cheryl. Come on. Bless them. Let's pray for them right now. Father, I just thank you for this couple. I thank you, Father. I pray in Jesus' name, as they have just received that heart of being generous and just wanting to give back and sow back into other lives, I thank you that you said those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. So, Father, we loose just a great refreshing on them. I pray that, Lord, they would receive even back unto themselves. Even though they're doing this selflessly and generously, I command your richest blessing upon their lives. Just enrich them, enrich their hearts, their lives, and everything they hold dear. Make sure that it's a very Merry Christmas for them. Cause them to be blessed and be a great blessing. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Hallelujah. And for all those out there in internet world, that's just a couple who got blessed by our hampers last year. They just happened to come in today to bring in enough to cover 53 hampers. I don't know about you, but you do the math on that. Hampers are about $75 a piece. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. You know, and have a Merry Christmas. My goodness, we might be able to cover a few more families. What do you think? Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, come on. We're going to embrace some grace today. You're going to get touched. You're going to get a breakthrough today. I tell you, you should already be walking out of here already. Just like, man, it was so good to be in the house of God. But how many know it can get betterer? Betterer. It's going to get better right now, I tell you. Come on, go to John chapter 1. I'm going to read a few scriptures there. John chapter 1, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, the other Gospels, they talk about the historical Jesus and how He was born, and they talk about the events surrounding His birth. But John gives a theological understanding of Jesus' birth. He says, "The Word, the eternal Word, became flesh. God Almighty, the Son, eternal, came into our neighborhood. He moved in to our place." Yo, dude, He moved in where we live. He came in. God is with us. He moved into our situation, totally identified with us. God is with us. The one we were hoping for, the one that we believed would come, the one that we knew was going to come, the promised one who would give a breakthrough. He came. He moved in. He's here. God is with us. And here's another thing. He is full of grace and truth. Verse 16 and 17, it says, of his fullness, of all that He is, of all the surpassing wonderful things that God is, of all that God is, out of His fullness, we have all received. Say received. Come on, say, I'm a good receiver. For we have all received grace for grace. We have all received, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ didn't come to introduce more laws. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Jesus came to introduce grace in reality, grace without hypocrisy, grace of absolute truth, grace in reality, grace with a powerful demonstration. And not just grace, but He came to give you grace for grace. Grace. I love the Amplified. I got the Amplified translation of that up here. Look at this. It's coming up right now. And he supplied with one grace after another, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. And that's really what it means. It's not just grace upon grace. It is one after another, just loaded, coming behind another, one after another. Just when you thought you experienced grace, here comes more grace. It's literally, it's like an accounting term. It's like a term you would use in the market. It says that I gave you money for a house, or I gave you money for a turnip. I gave you this for that. But you see, God gives you grace, and then after that, he gives you more grace. And once you've embraced all the grace, you go, what's next? There's grace. What do I get for grace? You get more grace. And then after you've experienced that grace, what is there? There's more grace. In fact, the grace never stops. It's grace upon grace, favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. You'll never wear it out. You'll never run out. The grace of God is flowing to you, and it is ceaseless. It is endless. And every time you feel you've used it up, there's more. Isn't God amazing? I mean, he really is so good. So when you embrace grace, you get more grace. So Romans chapter 5, verse 2. Now grace means everything dealt with. Grace means no more excuses. Grace means living in absolute unprecedented breakthrough all your life. Grace means living on top all the time. Grace means never being under the circumstances. Grace means never allowing your enemies to frustrate you. Grace says mountains removed. Grace says all of God's favor. Grace says my full inheritance, my full sonship, the full manifestation of his kingdom in my life. Oh, that's good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. It was really true. You know, but now listen, in Romans 5, verse 2, you can turn there and look at it. Got it up on the screen for you. It says, through whom we have received access by faith into this grace. You see, when Jesus came to introduce and manifest to us the glory of the Father. And what is it? Jesus came and he is full of grace and truth. So Jesus came to introduce to us a whole new dispensation of his fullness of grace, his goodness, his grace. You should only expect to be condemned to victory every day of your life. It's good news, good news, good news. Well, why ain't I working in it then? Well, how come I'm still struggling? How come? Well, it says that through Jesus, we have access to the grace. But Paul said we have access to this grace by faith. We have access into this grace in which we now stand. That's interesting, isn't it? How do you have access into something you're already standing in? How do you get access into something I'm already in? So I got access to something I'm in. So you have standing in grace, but you need to access the grace you're standing in. You need to lay hold of, you need to start to manifest, you need to let that grace begin to saturate you and overflow the banks of your life. You need to let it, and it happens by faith. By faith we have access into this grace in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I love Romans chapter 5, verse 17 in Romans 5, it says much more, say much more, much more, don't be afraid now, it's okay, don't be afraid, say much more. Much more, those who receive abundance of grace. Don't you love the superlatives of God? It's never a little bit. It's not just, you know, grace and here's some grace from God. It's much more, and it's the abundance of. Come on, God is always over the top. Well, don't get your expectations up. God wants you to get your expectations up because he's really that good. I don't know, be careful going to that church because they say God's good. I mean, come on. Hello, God is good. He really is that good, I'm telling you. He says that you have access to this grace, and much more, those who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through one Christ Jesus. Are you reigning? Is life reigning on you, or are you reigning in it? Come on, I tell you, we should be reigning in life. I love, you know, when Cheryl was singing that song there, and she was just going, man, and I know that, because Cheryl's right there. She's sitting there saying, you know what, if I don't understand, I don't care, because I got you, and that's good enough, because you are good. When I don't understand, here's my confession, God is good. And you ever been in a place where you're going, I don't understand what's going on right now, but you know what I'm going to say right now? I'm going to say, God is good, and I'm surrounded by him, so you know what, I'm really happy. My circumstances didn't change right away, but glory to God, my attitude has, and I'm wide open, because right now I'm standing in grace, and by faith I'm accessing every wonderful benefit, thank you Jesus, because it's more and more, it's abundance, it's grace upon grace, favor upon favor, gift heaped upon gift. I wish I could settle down. I wish I could just talk normally. I wish I could just share in a conversational tone and smile and say, isn't God good? But I tell you the message, it's burning in my bones. Settle down. I know you're excited too. All right, come on. We got to move. We got to go, Pastor. We got to go. We all know, listen, so faith, we need faith, right? How many know you need faith? Well, look what it says. It says in Romans 12, verse 3, it says, God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Hello. Is every man here today? Every man, every woman, every child. Do you know what every single one of us, you know what you have? It's like you're in a dollar store and he gave you a dollar and everything costs a dollar. We all got a dollar. We can all get stuff. And then when you spend that dollar, there's more dollars. He gives you more dollars. You can keep on going. Look at this. I need a dollar. Everything's a dollar. He has given you the dollar. He's given you the measure of faith. Everybody can appropriate the goodness of God because he has given you the measure of faith. He's given every man, not a measure, brutal translation, but he's given you the measure of faith. Every one of us, he would never tell you, here's stuff, do stuff, believe stuff. But then he not only tells you to do it, he gives you the faith to do it. And then he gives you the power to do it. I mean, whatever truth demands, he's giving you the grace to lay hold of it. Man, we've been set up for good stuff every day. Come on, let all the young people say, woohoo! Oh, good, that was good. I thought they were texting their friends and they were paying attention. All right, just text your friend and say, Pastor, it's hot this morning. Holy man. All right, okay. Good. All right, so Mark 11, 22, it says, have faith in God. Better translated, have the faith of God. You know what? God's a God who speaks to nothing and calls it into manifestation. And God says, I have a spirit of faith. I speak things that aren't. He spoke to void and chaos and said, let there be light. And there was light. You see, he's given you the faith of God. He's given you that measure of faith. He's given you the God kind of faith. He's given you the quality of faith that in this wonderful realm of grace, you can release your faith and you can speak things are not as though they were. And God will make it so. Man, hallelujah. He's given me all this grace. How do I get some? He's given me the faith. He's given me the key. He's given me how to access and operate and live in this every day of my life. Can I get a hallelujah? How many are just like, my God, I'm just so overwhelmed. I'm so excited. Glory. Thank you for that. Now, come on now. Here we go. You ready? Life is full of storms. How many have had a storm here or there? How many in one right now? It's a bit of a tempest. Yeah, your life is storms. In this life, you're going to have troubles. It says that. It says, but fear not. I've overcome the world. So you know you can trust him. So let's go with me. Go with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, we're going to read about a storm. Are you ready? All right, Luke chapter 8, 22, 26. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let's cross over. Say to your friend, let's cross over. Let's step into more grace. Let's go into another realm of grace. Let's take another whole whack of grace. Let's move from grace to grace today. Let's lay hold of a bigger swat of grace. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say, let's cross over. All right, so he said, let's cross over. Come on, we're going to cross over. So they went to the other side of the lake and they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling up with water, and they were in jeopardy. They were in jeopardy. They were in jeopardy. Jesus is sleeping. The winds are coming. How many ever been in a storm? How many been in a storm on a lake? I see, my dad, my mom knows dad. He had a boat, and my dad, he loved storms. He would go out in the lake in storms. And, you know, I remember one time, it wasn't really stormy, but it was really, really windy, and we were in the boat out on Lake Ontario, and we're out in the big area of the lake, and we're headed towards the Toronto Harbor, but the swells were so big, we would go down in a swell, and all you could see was water all around you. Do you remember that? That was crazy stuff. And like, Cheryl's holding on to the kids for dear life, and I'm just going, we can't see a thing. And all of a sudden, we come on top of the swell, and you can see everything, and all of a sudden, we're back down again. I'm like, this is crazy stuff. But I'm looking at my dad, and he's like, just a big smile sitting in the chair, going, he's like, ah, look at this. And I mean, I said, you know what? Dad's confident. Everything's okay. But Cheryl, she was holding them kids like, oh, my God. But I knew Dad loves the storm. He's not going to take us into something we can't handle. But boy, you know, he loved to get out there, be up on the, you know, he'd be crossing the lake going to Chicago and everybody else is battening down the hatches. He's up on the flybridge going, oh, Man, I tell you, but I knew I could keep my eye on Dad, and it don't matter. I mean, we're going to get through this. If he's out there, he knows what he's doing. He always got us through the storms. It's all good. You know, but here's Jesus. He's not running the boat. He's sleeping. He's like, how many know when you see a baby sleeping, it's cute? Hey, how many seen a baby sleeping? Isn't that cute? You just, that's cute. How many know adults sleeping? Not so much. Hey, feeling. It's funny because we're on the airplane flying. You know, I can't sleep on airplanes, but Cheryl, she can sleep. And it's funny because when she falls asleep, it's like, she gets this funny kind of lip thing going on. I was like, Dad is really weird looking. Like, Cheryl's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And you know, adults sleeping, when you need something from them, it's especially not only not attractive, it's annoying. Hey? I remember one time we were early in our marriage, and we'd had a bit of an issue with a few things, and I was an awesome husband. And but Cheryl was having some difficulties being married to me. I can't imagine why. But I knew she was having some difficulties, and I got home from work. I said, we should talk about some stuff. She said, nope, not talking. Well, I know you got something to talk about. She said, nope, not talking to you. We should talk, honey. You got something to talk about. I don't know what it is. Can't read your mind. Please, let's talk. Nope. But then, I mean, I woke up 6 every morning on the road, traveling, doing sales all the time, and sure enough, 3 o'clock in the morning, you know. And I knew because she'd been shaking all night, you know, like, taking her pillow. And I'm like, I don't care. We could have talked earlier in the day, but she wants to talk now. I ain't talking. So. You know, it's real ugly when you got a problem and the person you want to talk to about it is like, so I don't know, you might have a really beautiful picture of Jesus, but I'm telling you, Jesus, he's like sitting on there, he's just sleeping on the pillow. I mean, he's out and these guys are just freaking out. Like, don't you care? Let's look at the verses. Verse 24. By the way, it was all good. I was right. Cheryl repented and we obviously are still married today. So, amen. She's not here, so you can't get the rest of the story. All right. And they came in and they woke him up saying, like, Master, like, don't you care if we're going to perish here? Like, hello, drooling away on the pillow. Like, what's going on? So, I mean, these guys literally, they know him and they've had some experiences with him, but they have more experience with the lake. Let me say this now. Listen now. You might know him, you got a bit of experience with him, but sometimes when we need a breakthrough and we need to see God show up during a storm, the problem is we are more familiar with the storm. These guys knew the lake. I mean, we're in the lake. Oh my goodness, one of those storms is coming up. You know what happens with these storms? These kind of storms kill people. Remember, you know, Uncle Eli and Uncle Freddie, when they never came back. I mean, it's that kind of storm. This is the kind of storm where people's lives get wrecked, where things get ruined. These are the kind of storms you never recover from. And look at him, drool puppy over there. You know, they were upset. I mean, whatever revelation they had of Jesus got totally overwhelmed by an experience that they were more familiar with than they were with Jesus. They're more familiar with their problem. They were more familiar with, you know, these things lead to bad stuff, and you all know that. And I got faith in everything, and I'm believing for a breakthrough. But I know in reality, you know, this doesn't have a good outcome. There's a lot of people, some might be even sitting here this morning, that, you know, you should have given your problems away a bit earlier, but you got another chance, all right? Because you know what? You got something going on in your life, and you really are so much more in tune with the storm than you are with the master of the storm. And you got to say, thank you, Jesus, that I'm here today, because you're going to get a breakthrough. All right, so let's go on, come on. So he arose up, it says, he rose up, he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said to them, where is your life jackets? He said, where? He didn't say, why didn't you use it, or how come, or what, or you don't have enough. He just said, where is it? Where is your faith? Where is your faith? You know why? Because he said, your faith is directed in the storm. Your faith is saturated by your experiences. Your faith is completely in when this happens, that happens. This leads to this. And he said, where is your faith? Because their faith was not in the God who they didn't have a good enough relationship with. Their faith was in the experience that spoke way too loudly in their lives. And a lot of times we do not get the breakthroughs we desire because literally, where is your faith? You've got it. You've got the faith of God, but you're not using it. You're not directing it properly. And you've got more faith. You've got more belief and more confidence that this storm is going to end up in bad stuff than you are in the God who will always give you a breakthrough. See, what Carly was saying here was there's no thing that comes against you that'll prosper. There's nothing formed or shaped by hell that has any power against you. My God is greater. They should have been jumping up. Jesus is sleeping. I got it. You sleep, you chill, because I got this. Storm be still. I command the storm be gone. I mean, the lesson is over, fellas. Do something. But you know, we keep on living this life hopelessly desperate, and we think that, why isn't my situation changing? God, are you sleeping up there? What are you doing? And then we start to get mad at God, and we start to accuse him of not being there for us, and we reshape our theology and our belief systems to create a God who isn't big enough to deal with my situation. All right, I got to move on. Can you say move on, Pastor? So he arose, he rebuked the storm. He said, where is your faith? Come on. They're saying, man, you don't know. We got experience with this lake. He says, I got experience way above the lake. I mean, I created this lake. I can tell this lake what to do. And they were afraid after that, and they marveled, and they said to one another, what can this be? What kind of a man is this? For even the waters, the waves, I mean, the weather even is subject to him. Let's go into another storm quickly. Another storm. Mark chapter 6. Grab your Bible. Mark chapter 6. Verse 45. Immediately he said to his disciples, let's get in the boat and let's cross over. Let's go to the other side. How many want to go to the other side today? How many want to get to the other side of your circumstance? You want to get to the other side of your burden? You want to get to the other side of this disease? You want to get to the other side of this affliction? You want to get to the other side of this mountain? Here we are. Immediately, he put his disciples in the boat. Go to the other side. Go to Bethsaida. While he was sent, he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he went up in a mountain and began to pray. Now, on this one, he wasn't even in the boat. But tell me, the one who wasn't in the boat, what did he say? Cross over. What did he say? Cross over. What did he say? Cross over. If the Lord tells you to cross over, it's not to send you into doom or abyss. If the Lord says it's cross over, it's so that you can arrive on the other side. Whatever he told you to do, it is sure in him. His words are true. His words never fail. Everything he speaks is full of power. That word is already full of power to bring into manifestation what he said. So he said, cross over. We got enough word, even if he's not with us, we got enough word to get to the other side. No matter what happens, that word will bring us to our destiny. So they're ready to cross over. And he went and he sent them away, departed. He's up there praying. And then the evening came and the boat was in the middle of the sea and he was alone on the land. And he saw them straining and rowing, for the wind was against them. Now but the fourth watch, the darkest time, the worst part, the darkest period in the night, he came to them walking on the sea. How many know that would be a bit creepy? In their day, they had stories and fables that when you saw people walking on the lake, it was like an angel or a relative or somebody coming to get you because you're about to die. I know in the middle of that dark thing, you start seeing stuff. You start getting all kinds of stuff. You start manifesting aches and pains you didn't even know you had because you're in a deep, dark place right now. And this storm has a very strong manifestation in my life. I know some of you have been in storms like that, that the manifestation is powerful and everything in you is challenged. You start to see things, feel things. Oh, my God. But now they're looking and what is this? And they're terrified. And Jesus has come and he's walking to them in the lake. Then he saw them straining and rowing, for the wind was against them. Now, about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them. Hallelujah. He came to them and walking on the sea, and he would have passed them by. Hello, read that again. He would have passed them by. Now, the one who said, go to the other side, he's trucking to the other side. And he saw they were in trouble. And he's walking. He's going, how's it going, fellas? He's about to pass by. He's moving on. He's going, you guys can handle this. It's all good. And they're like, ah! He's about to pass them by. Verse 49, and when they saw him walking on the sea, they supposed it was a ghost, and they cried out, for they all saw him, and they were troubled, but immediately talked with them. And he said, be of good cheer. It is I. That phrase means I am. Be of good cheer. I am. And what he's declaring there is, I am. He's declaring the name of God. He's saying, I am the master of this storm. I am the God of everything. Don't be afraid because I am. Well, the storm is, no, I am. No, the disease is, no, I am. No, my job is going away, no, I am. No, my marriage is falling apart, no, I am. Do not be afraid. Then he went up into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were greatly amazed in themselves beyond measure. Come on. I love that. They were greatly amazed beyond measure, and they marveled, for they had not understood about the loaves and the fishes. They had not, what? We read about the loaves and the fishes. But you see, the loaves and the fishes wasn't just a miracle. The loaves and the fishes was a teaching. When I did the miracle, I was actually teaching you something. And they didn't understand it. And it says because they didn't understand it, their hearts were hardened because they didn't understand the miracle. Did you know you can participate in a miracle, and if you don't learn the lesson of that miracle, your heart can become hardened. You see, what they learned with that miracle is that God can make food appear. Woo, that's awesome. So you're the God who can feed everybody. You're the God who can make happy meals for everyone. Woo, that's amazing. I learned something new. But are you the God of the storm? I learned that you can multiply food. It was really cool to participate in that. But what Jesus is saying, you learned enough participating in that miracle that this storm should have been nothing to you. And your heart obviously was hardened, and you did not go from glory to glory, from grace to grace, but you went, that was good, but this problem is really big. I mean, we couldn't, you know, we had a problem feeding people, and we got that done, but this one, my God can't touch. I don't know enough about you. I didn't know that you could do all that food thing, and so I got the idea that you are like Iron Chef Supreme. But do you know anything about boats? We know about boats. I know about storms, and this isn't good. But you see, when you don't bring him and the I am into every circumstance of your life, and you don't trust him, and by faith appropriate and embrace the grace that is yours, you will experience that storm full on, and you won't experience the benefits of him in the middle of it. Because you didn't learn from your last miracle that, you know what, the God who did that, he can take care of this, he can take care of that, he can take care of everything, because he is the I am in every situation of your life. Now, I'm trying harder than you're clapping. Peter Powell, well, thank you, Pastor. All right, here we go. All right. So sometimes we get stuck, and our capacity to receive revelation is compromised because you've got storm ruts in your head. You got situations in your head that you're familiar with how that goes. And this is the way it works. You got a rut. If I could open up your brain right now, chop off your head, go, I could literally find tracks in your mind. And that I could speak to you a truth, and you'd hear the truth, and it would start to be assimilated in your mind, but immediately it would hit a rut, and your mind has a decision to make right there. Am I going to receive this, or am I going to transform this situation? Am I going to receive this, or am I going to break that rut, and I'm going to change the way I believe? Am I going to let my mind be renewed, or am I going to back down this track of fear and failure? And you got a choice to make right now in the middle of your storm. Do you believe God can be the master of this situation? And so he's going to do it. Now look, it says, when they crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret. They anchored there, and when they came out of the boat, immediately people recognized him. You know, when you get victory over your storm, you know what's going to happen? Immediately people will recognize him. Now, I had a guy in my office this week who needed a breakthrough in his life, needed a touch, came and talked to me, spent some time with me. And I said, well, how did you come to get in touch with us? What's going on with all that? And he says, you know, I try to stay off Facebook and all those things because I've been an addict and I've been dealing with drug addictions and things. When I get on Facebook, I see my friends partying, and then I want to know where they are, and I feel this temptation to go be with them. So I just dump Facebook. I don't want to look at it anymore. But I did see this Christian girl that I know, and she started putting these posts on Facebook that looked kind of weird. It looked like something happened in her life. It looked like there was an experience in her life that I was like, and I finally said, what's going on with you? Something's changed in your life. Something's shifted. And she said, I went to this church. I went there and I accepted Jesus. And you got to come too, because I tell you, it'll change your life. It'll do things for you. And he said, I'm a coming. I don't know if he said it that way, but he came, you know, and he came into my office that day, and he gave his life to Jesus. And we're going through a whole discipleship thing. But you see, when you get through your storm, when you get victory over your storm, when you embrace Jesus and you cross over and you get through your situation, it says immediately they will recognize Jesus. That's why you got to get through your storms. That's why you can't make your storm the destination. You got to make the breakthrough your destination, because people are watching, people are looking, and you don't even know it. But there's people that are going to see breakthroughs in people's lives in this house, and immediately, I'm telling you, there is a ridiculous harvest coming to this house, because people are going to immediately start to see a God who is mighty, and he's the God of the storm, and they're going to see breakthroughs. Can I get an amen? Man, I'm holding on to myself today. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. All right, come on. Come on, here it is. They went around all the villages, all the places. They all brought their sick to Jesus, and whoever came, anyone who touched him, they were made well. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he's here today to give you a breakthrough. Now listen, the devil stands, and winds come, adversity comes, things come, and they try to take your focus off the Word of God. It says your mind processes 100 million bits of information per second. Some of you are right there. Actually, I was lost in a bit right there. I can't even see the pastor anymore. Your mind processes 100 million bits of information per second. There's another 100 million. There's another. There's one. Wow, your mind has to do something with that. So listen, what your mind does is it filters about 98% of it out. That's why some of you can sleep while I'm preaching. I've tuned him out. All right, that's 98% of it can get tuned out. Your mind automatically does that for you. Isn't that good? And then 2% is analyzed by your conscious mind, and then it presents you with only 7 bits per second. Say, thank God. Imagine if you were handling all 100 million bits all at once. And that's how some kids get trapped in autism and some other things, is they're unable to process all of the information. It's all coming so fast. But thank God that that all happens. It's only 7 bits. But you know what? You get to choose, and you are involved also in that filtering, and you get to choose what you focus on. You get to choose what you're going to put your mind in. You get to choose how you're going to engage and put your mind to work. Now, verse 52, it said, they had not understood about the loaves and the fish. Their heart was hardened. So their capacity to receive revelation was compromised because of the Word of God. Now, I'm going to go through some quick observations right now. I think it's about 7, so hang with me. Are you ready? These 7 are going to be good for you. So pop me another slide right now. Pop me some observations. Number 1, listen to this. Jesus made them go. All right, now listen, if Jesus made you go, then he is the one who sent you. He compelled them, he drove them, he constrained them by force. That word means even by threat. So, I mean, Jesus made them go. Go into all the world, preach the gospel unto every creature. Go disciple the nations. I mean, you got a command to go. There is a command to go. Jesus made them go. Everybody get that? Number two, the devil will oppose you. Say, thank you, Jesus. How many know that if Jesus rebuked the storm wasn't from the Father? Because he's not going to rebuke the Father. So you know what? Storms rise up. God might have told you to go somewhere, and you're in the middle of going there, and then all hell rises up in front of you. I mean, God told you to do something, and if you told me to do this, why is it so hard? God, if you told me that you wanted this to happen in my life, why am I running into more difficulty? God, if you said you wanted to deal with this in my life, why is it getting worse? Anybody been there? You know, because you know what? There's wind. How many know the devil, listen to this now, uses windy words? How many know there's windy words? I'll use a windy word. You ready for a windy word? It's cancer. Honey, I'm leaving you. Your son's got an incurable disease. We've had to, you know, restructure, and you no longer have a job with us. Mom and Dad are breaking up. You okay? The devil does that. The devil will come, and he uses windy words. But I tell you, the battle is never about your present. The battle is always about your future. It's never about your present, it's about your future. So hang in there, I tell you, because the devil wants to try to keep you from getting to the other side. The devil wants to try to keep you from realizing that wonderful word that God spoke over your life. Number three, you're never out of sight. Come on. Settle down, I know that one's sinking in. You are never out of his sight. You never leave the grip of his hand. It says, my eyes are on the sparrow. I'm always on you. Nothing can ever separate you from his love. There's never a time where you're alone. There's never a time where, God, where are you? He is right there. He will never, ever leave you or forsake you. You are never out of his sight. Number four. We're flying along right now. Oops. Wow. Go ahead to number four. Keep going. I know I changed the outline. Number four. He comes unexpectedly. Comes unexpectedly. I mean, the darkest time, the weirdest time, when you think we're goners, when you think, man, we were hoping for something, here it comes, bam, and he comes. Sometimes he comes from the weirdest place. He comes from outside the boat. I mean, we're so used to anything outside the boat as a ghost or something weird, but look, it is Jesus, the I Am, can come to you at the weirdest time, and sometimes in very unexpected ways, God will come, but you know what? He will come, and sometimes it's not how you expected, and not, you know, how you expected or where you expected. Number five, you must engage him. You must engage him. Oh, come, Jesus, hallelujah, come. You've got to engage him because he's coming. And there's sometimes you may not recognize, you may not see it. That looks odd. Is that really him? You got to know that, and you got to say, don't pass me by, get in the boat. Come on, right now, say, don't pass me by, get in the boat. You need Jesus in your boat. You really do. Everything you need is already there. Number six, you will experience the miraculous. You will experience the miraculous. Your cure is already taken care of. Your breakthrough is already won. You are condemned to victory every day of your life. Oh, that's good news. I could use some good news. You're condemned to victory every day of your life. More and more grace, more and more breakthrough, more and more gifts of his love, more and more favor. It's just coming at you like the waves of the ocean. It will never stop. Wow, I'm glad to hear that, Pastor. Hallelujah. Stop running around the building and jumping up and down. Please, I'm trying to finish. You will experience the miracle. I love it. He says, be of good cheer. Cheer up, guys. Don't be afraid. It is I. Take heart. I am. Stop being alarmed. Stop being afraid. I am whatever you need me to be. You can speak to this storm because you got the I am in your boat. And whatever he told you he was going to do, he gave you a word empowered to get you through. Who's got a word? Who's got a word? Who's got a word? He even told us this morning, spoke to us, said, there's words I've spoken over you. And some of you began to question, is that going to happen? Some of that just seems too good to be true. I mean, all those things. I mean, we've heard it over and over again. Does he really mean it? Or do those prophets just all eat pizza the night before? I mean, what happened? What's that all about? God's saying again, I'm telling you what I said I will do. I am the great I am. I'm in the boat. I'm going to do it. And he's going to do it for you. Amen. Can I get an amen from the amen corner over here? Woo! Hallelujah. Can I get a wave over here? Woo! Did you see that? It ended right there. So, there was just, and this room over here, they wanted to get involved, but right here there was a blockage. There was a, over there, they're like, they were anticipating being involved, and then right here just plugged right up. Just, okay, just right now I loose the Holy Ghost anima right here in this department. All right, you ready? Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Yeah! Woo! Oh. I knew a sister right there needed a breakthrough. I knew she did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I tell you, number seven. You ready? Number seven. You realize your destiny. It says immediately the people recognized him and many were touched and all who touched him were made well. When you overcome your storm, people see Jesus and you will release the kingdom. You will release the kingdom pilgrim. We are the army of God. Hallelujah. I tell you, there's a mountain shaking, breaking anointing in the house today. I don't know about you, but during praise, I was like, holy cow, anything could happen today. I tell you, the I Am is in the house and he is restless. And he's ready to kick some butt today. And he's ready to free some of his people. And I tell you, I don't want you to walk out the door today with anything you came in with that you think will hinder you. Walk in a new revelation. Did he ever do something good for you before? He's not going to stop because he is grace upon grace. What does he give you for grace? I laid a hold of that grace. What does he give you for that? More grace. He gives you grace for grace. Favor for favor. Favor for favor. Favor for favor, gift heaped upon gift. Can I get an amen? Come on, stand up with me. Stand up with me. Come on, if you're happy, tell your face. If you're happy, shout glory to Jesus. All right, come on. I was just, I don't know if I get Cheryl tinkle on the keyboards. That means play them, by the way. Come on, say God's good. He's really good. He's really, really good right now. So come on, bless you, bless you, bless you. Now right now, I just want you to do something on all the believers. You're all praying right now. You're all praying. I just want you all to bow your heads, close your eyes, all right? No looking around. This is just every heart in Jesus. You're all doing business with the Almighty, and He loves you. And you're here right now, and your heart's going pitter-patter, and you've never felt like this before. And it's because God is doing something in your life right now. The God who loves you has worked this all out for you. And now listen, if you don't know Jesus, if you know you're in the middle of a storm and you're just seeing now that there's Jesus and He seems to be outside the boat, but you want Him in your boat. You're saying, I don't want Jesus to pass me by. I want Him. I want Him to come in the middle of my situation. I want the I Am who can turn everything around. I want Him in my life right now. Now listen, if that's you, if you don't know Him or you want to know Him and you want to be sure that He's in your life, we can make that happen today. I can lead you to a relationship with a wonderful Savior who loves you. And it's very, very simple. I'm going to count to three. And the reason I do that is just so you know when to put up your hand. Because I just want you to put up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. But when I count to three, would you put up your hand and say, I want to know Jesus today. I want Him in my life today. If you want that, when I count to three, would you put your hand up so I can see it? And we're just simply going to pray for you. All right? All right, here you go. You ready? One, two, three. All your hands go up right now. If you need Jesus right now, you want Him in your life. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow. You can put your hands down now. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. He really loves you. That's so awesome. We're going to pray now, and we're all going to pray together, but I want you put your hand up. Would you pray with me? And pray loud. Just pray so you can hear yourself. You ready? I'm going to lead you to Jesus right now. It's very simple. You're going to experience a miracle. God's going to come and make you brand new. Brand new. Brandy, you ready? Everybody, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for taking my sin. Thank you for forgiving me once and for all. Holy Spirit, come into my heart. Testify that I'm a child of God. Thank you, Jesus. I declare right now that I am a forgiven son of God through the finished work of Jesus Christ, my Savior. Amen. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Hey, look at me. You had your hand up and you did that prayer for the first time. Can you look at me? Just look at me. I want to tell you something. Your sins are forgiven you. You don't have a sin relationship with the Father anymore. In fact, your sins, past, present, future, it's gone. And the relationship you have with Him is a child of God. And you have access to His table. And He'll never leave you, never forsake you. But He loves you, and you'll always be His child. And He's always loved you. But especially now, you have full access to every benefit of His kingdom. You're forgiven, you're healed, and you're free. In Jesus' name. That's good news. Amen. Now, you ready? One more thing. I'm just going to ask our ministry team to come forward now. Those who are going to be praying and helping out, would you come and just be here at the front? These folks are ready to pray for you. These folks are assigned and they're qualified and they can minister to you in any circumstance or situation. And you know, you've heard the word and you believe that, your heart's stirred up, but you just need somebody to agree with you. You need somebody to pray with you. They might have a prophetic word for you. They might have the laying on of hands. They're such a blessing on ministry. But maybe you're here today and saying, you know what? I'm in one of those storms right now and I need a breakthrough. I'm in one of those places right now. I need somebody to pray for me. And maybe that's you. And if that is you, please don't leave here today without coming to the altar and getting some prayer. Those folks who accepted Jesus for the first time, we wanna follow up with you. I hope we got your information because we don't want it just to be a one-time event for you. We want to help you through this process of knowing your Savior. And so please talk to somebody or let us know, and we want to follow up with you, okay? Nothing creepy, nothing weird. We just want to love on you, all right? So if you need prayer, please come. Is there anybody who said, Pastor, I need some more prayer today? I mean, somebody pray for me. I need somebody to identify with me. You come. I'm going to close. I'm going to close in prayer, but you come, and they're going to minister to you in prayer. Amen? Come on, everybody, lift up your hands. Say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, Father, what an awesome day in your house. We met with you in a big way. We thank you that we came and your table was full again. And we thank you that Lord, the cup was full again. And we fellowship with you, and it's been so sweet to be in your house. But now I bless everyone, because Lord, church isn't coming to the building on Sunday. Church is me living out my faith every day, ministering the goodness of God everywhere I go. So Father, thank you for your great love. The revelation of it, let it just be full in every single life. Jesus, the grace, the more than enough grace, the abundant grace, your grace, let it saturate every heart and every life in Jesus' name. And Holy Ghost, you're my partner. Go with me, be with me, use me, put me on like a garment and demonstrate the kingdom everywhere I go. I command the wonderful peace of God that's way beyond understanding to wrap, to embrace, and to empower each and every one of you in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. It's good. Did you have something to say, Brian? Hang tight.
Just want to share a quick Grace in the Storm story. I was traveling down 401 East and going in that big storm we had, and I had just passed a tractor trailer, and another car was traveling close behind me. He was tailing me, and I was confident I had good tires, but went to hit the brake and slow down, and all of a sudden my whole car went sideways, and everything was dark, and I couldn't see anything, and all I did is cry out. I said, Jesus, and then I said it again, Jesus, and then rather than the tractor trailer T-boning me, rather than causing like a 25 car pileup, the Lord, someone saw my lights shining on the tree, so it must have been going sideways down the 401. I shot over in the ditch. Next thing, I was knocking down bulrushes, and the Lord just totally preserved the car. He preserved me, and no one got hurt. So it was pretty exciting to see that. And the tow truck driver, after I shoveled a bunch of the snow out, he had it out in like 10 minutes. So it was very exciting to see that the car wasn't twisted and damaged, because I was probably doing about 100. And but the Lord was very gracious in the midst of that storm. So when I cried out, Jesus, Jesus, I didn't know how I got where I got, like why did I end in fishtail all around, but the Lord was right there present with me at that time.
That's good. He's the God of the snowstorm, too. He understands all that stuff. Well, bless you. Have an awesome day. Come on. The altars are open. Come on up and get some prayer.